Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord. Today is a special day worth living.
Bishop Haralambos is a Greek Orthodox bishop whose ordination name translates from the Greek to be Happy Light. Bishop Hara, or Happy, will welcome us each morning with an uplifting message of exhortation, bringing us together for wisdom, knowledge, Bible prophecy, and current events, reviewing past prophecies aired on the radio years ago in a Nostradamus fashion. The program will contain miracles, newspaper quotes, and Holy Scripture readings relating to the end times.
Come receive the light in God's Kapheneum. This is Bishop Haralambos. From now on, you can just call me Bishop Hara, and our program will be coming to you each Sunday morning, 8:30 to 9, especially to you live-ins and all you God-blessed people, the beloved of the Lord.
I suppose this morning I should say Happy Easter, Happy Pascha, but being an Orthodox bishop, I have to wait one more week. You understand, the Gregorian calendar and the Julian calendar are two different things. There are Christians that celebrate Easter today, so Happy Easter to you, and may God bless you. But this is our Palm Sunday for Orthodox Christians. And Palm Sunday has to come first, a full moon and the Jewish Passover, before we can celebrate the death, crucifixion, and resurrection of Christ, which will be next week for us. So Pascha for us is next week, but we share today and give you God's blessing as an Orthodox bishop to our Christians that celebrate it today. And today, let us talk about faith and prophecy. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That came from Hebrews, the epistle. We do not see, that's faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So it's without seeing God that we believe by faith. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthening in faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. That was spoken to the Colossians by the Apostle Paul, our beloved prophet and our beloved priest. For it was by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Ephesians. You are all sons of God through the faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have been convinced of, because you know that from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Timothy received that message from the Apostle Paul. Be on your guard and stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and of course, self-control. Paul went on to say a very beautiful saying to the Galatians. It's in his epistle to them. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's exactly what the Lord precluded by going to the cross. And as we celebrate the resurrection, we should have those words in our hearts. Have faith in God, said Jesus. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so that Jesus may dwell in our hearts through faith, and I pray you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, long, and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Those words of faith are spoken about today because it is a marked day after Passover and before Passover, and whichever Christian calendar you follow. The important thing to remember is that Christ went to the cross and was resurrected. That's what we believe. The world today seems to be negating. I know we have the code, the Da Vinci Code. They're now saying that he was married to Mary Magdalene, a lie. They're now saying that he didn't really walk on water, it was ice, and therefore that was not a miracle. They're saying that Christ, and they're trying to belittle Christ, and this is the time that it is happening, which gives forth prophecy that will be spoken to you, because in this great land, America, these kind of words should never even be uttered. We can't really lay back as Christians and allow the undermining of our Lord. We also know that Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities that them in like manner, which gave themselves up to fornication and going after strange flesh, and set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. That's what's going on today. We're despising the word of God even. And I'm speaking about citizens in this country. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. He didn't bring anything against him or any railing accusation, but only said, "The Lord rebuke thee." And so I repeat the same words. Lord, rebuke those that bring evil and speak evil of those things that they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts in those things, they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam, for reward, for money, and they perish in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds, they are without water, carried about as the wind of the trees, whose fruit were without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. These are murmurers, and I speak of those that speak against Christ. Complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But beloved, remember ye the words which are spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last days and the last time. That's what we're going to speak about today in prophecy, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit of God. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, have compassion, making a difference, and others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, Christ, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And now we come to the prophetic portion of our program that we have promised you. I will prelude it by the prophet Jeremiah, who spoke and said, "The prophet which prophesied of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him." And we know that Hananiah spoke false to the people. "Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest the people to trust in a lie." Now let's go to the prophecies that transpired November the 28th, 1981.
So I don't forget, because of so many interesting topics that is in my heart to speak to you about, I wish to tell you I love you. Try to understand the burden of this ministry, a ministry of Elijah, with a spirit of restoration, addressed, as I pointed out last week, first to the recognition that there indeed are matters that we must look at. This is not easy to do. None of us really enjoy searching our own conscience, either in the conscience of ourselves individually, either in the conscience of ourselves in our families, and the shortcomings we have towards one another, and certainly not in the conscience of the nation. And hardly, sad as it seems, in the conscience of the church, the true church, the body of Christ. For truly, the conscience of the church are its people. But I will begin with the conscience of the nation and with a humble respect and response to our president, who gave, I thought, a beautiful presentation on television, a personal introspect by Barbara Walters. And the president was asked questions, and he answered. Barbara Walters asked some dynamic questions involving the current events of today. I found myself glued to the TV, watching attentively.
This prophecy was prophesied over the radio, as I said to you, 26 years ago. And we were speaking to President Reagan. It pertains to President Bush even today, because as you go into later the prophecy, we talk about fighting in the Middle East and patriotism and men dying and for what reason and the truth. And so therefore, I want you to listen very attentively and for yourselves in your hearts believe, did this prophecy pertain to us now, 26 years, a quarter of a century later?
Mr. President, our dear Mr. President, dear President Reagan, may I answer you in another manner, a question that was brought to you by Barbara Walters, when she said, what was the most profound problem of today, plaguing our nation? Truly your answer was profound, Mr. President, when you said that the danger to America was inside suicide. Oh, how true, how convicting our consciences as a nation and individuals belonging to that nation should have felt, would have felt, and should be. for indeed we are on a suicidal path, directing this nation to a very definite end. Now, the spirit of Elijah and the Elijah ministry simply has three steps that could answer the profound perplexities and problems not only facing our nation, but facing our churches, our organized Christian churches today. So that I don't lose you in our conversations and dialogue in our listening today, I wish to outline briefly what the three steps are of which I've mentioned to you. The first, of course, is acknowledgement, pointing out warnings, showing our shortcomings, much like wanting to be dressed perfectly as a bride. We really don't want to exist with perplexing problems, nor do we want to deal with them with any undue length of time, certainly not unnecessarily. But the fact remains, if we are going to complete this process of restoration and victory, not only in our lives, but in our lives as a nation, and certainly as in our lives as a body believing in Jesus Christ as Savior, we must first introspectively look at ourselves and see the acknowledgement. Then, of course, comes in that first step a pointing out and a warning of areas of which I feel the good Lord has blessed certainly my ministry and our ministry in Athenagoras and the Elijah ministry, and pointing out, showing the correlation of current events, as I've told you. So I will begin by always pointing out and showing you the warnings and the shortcomings for you to act on. It doesn't do any good for me to sit here and be critical. That's not really the desire of my heart. I love you, and I want you to know I cry too when I see the shortcomings of my own family and my own self, as I fall short daily, as Paul said, and I see the sin in my own personal life, and I know there's victory there from the blood of the Lord on Calvary, but it still hurts me to know I fall short of that goal that God has set up for me as a human spirit. And certainly as a nation, when I see the president answer and say that the problem is economics. Oh, how untrue, President Reagan. That might be the manifestation. That might be the boil of the sore that pops out in areas which we can't understand, and the papers are full of, which I'll get into, are full of areas where they can't understand, authorities can't understand why in a recession we still got paradoxical happenings such as, let's say, high interest rates, and yet we're in a recession and no jobs, a higher percentage than ever before. These are perplexities that show the, which I believe you amply label it, inside suicide, is perhaps the boils that we see, and the manifestations of the economics are nothing more than bad blood. Certainly blood that doesn't ring true to the true American, that the way we should feel, and the way this country was brought to first humbly to its knees by our Lord, then victory over the strongest nation in the world, which was England. When we fought and beat England, we didn't beat England because we were a great nation. We didn't even have enough clothes to go around. We had enough, never had enough ammunition to go around, but we won. We won because we were right. We won because we were blessed by God to have that independence. And yet England had bright, shiny buttons and colored uniforms, and they had all the rhetoric and all the absolute majesty of the greatest nation on earth. Do you see something paradoxical in that today? Here we are, a great nation, the greatest nation on earth, and yet we're falling short. Much like taking the place of our own birthright. But acknowledgement is the first step in our Elijah ministry. And admittance, and after you've admitted something, and there's admission, then of course there's a repentant feeling in your heart. Then, of course, when you feel repentant, what's the next step? Absolute reform. Reformation. It happened 300 years ago. It certainly happened when we won our independence from England. And God's telling us to do it today. Don't sit back and say America the beautiful, America the perfect. When you see all these things happening around you, do something about it. So what do you do? What good does it do for me to sit on this chair every week and speak to you about our shortcomings, which probably to some of you it offends you, I hope not, I pray not, and others of you it alarms you, and then some of you perhaps can hear the sincerity in my voice and realize that my heart aches when I see these things happening. You know, I served in our service. I know what it's like to be in the Air Force in the time of Korea when I asked the good Lord in prayer, Lord, what, just why are we over here fighting? Well, he gave me that answer. But he waited a while till he had prepared me to know that answer. Much like those that wondered why they were fighting in Vietnam. And then, of course, our young ones that are going to be fighting in the Middle East. They're going to ask the same questions as we send our children to blood. They're going to say, why are we fighting in the Middle East? And you know, I'm not here to undermine the patriotism of this country. But I think a child of 20 years old has the right to know why he's going to die. He has a right to know, besides showing him the American flag and striking up a band, just exactly why he's there. And in fact, is it worth it? In fact, does he honestly believe it? You know, we believed it at Valley Forge. And we won. If we enter into the next one, and we don't believe in ourselves and in the victory, and indeed if God is not with us, we're not going to win. We can sit there and talk about how great we are, how we're the only free nation, how we preach Christianity, but if there's enough abomination in our nation, if there's enough no repentance, so to speak, if there's not enough direction, correct direction, if the good Lord's hand is not in it, America will not win. Now you can listen all you want to these false prophets that tell you not to worry about Russia. I actually heard a Christian, I heard about it, and I'm going to address myself to it in the very near future. But I happen to know that it was simply stated that there is absolutely no fear for the nation of Russia. No fear in our hearts. For the Lord was fully 100% on the side of America. That's not true. It would take an absolute blind and deaf man that was mute, excuse me, to believe and look about him and see the blessings being cut off from this nation that doesn't realize that we better reform, we better put our pleas to the Lord and prayer and acceptance, putting Christ first in our lives, will give us this restoration, then God's with us.
The purpose for this is to tell you and have you pray for us to initiate the process of restoration. First, we must have acknowledgement of our sins, then repentance, and then restoration of our beloved nation, America. We must pray together. God bless you, and happy Easter to those who are celebrating today. And now let's hear from my beloved Frank Pasilli, who sings for this program a parable of the first and last. First and last of Christians, born resurrected.
This is from Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16. It's about the laborers in the vineyard. Teaching the self-righteous is called the last will be first, and the first will be last.
For you who are idle, I've got a great plan. Rise early in the morning and work on my land. My vineyard is ready, the land is quite vast. The wages are good, but the laborers are scarce. The ones I have chosen, I know are the best. I've learned from my father, they sure will be blessed. So as the third, sixth, and ninth hour arrives, is all here, they're safe and alive. The gate is still open, my hiring's not through. They're coming in slowly at the 11th hour too. Take what is yours and go on your way. The first to the last, hope they'll stay, this I pray. The last ones and you, their rewards are the same. They may at least they all came. You arrived very early, yet you are appalled. Only few have been chosen, though many are called. May God hear slowly, and you got here fast. The last will be first, and the first will be last. The last will be first, and the first.